I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and that's where we're going to begin. There was a minister who was getting ready for a trip, and a minister waited in line to have his car filled with gas just before a holiday weekend. The attendant worked quickly, but there were many cars ahead of him in front of the service station. Finally, the attendant motioned him toward the vacant pump. "Reverend," said the young man, "sorry about the delay. It seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." The minister chuckled. "I know what you mean. It's the same in my business." Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at verse 18. This has been our text for this month. Every month we have a theme that we follow as the Lord leads. And our theme for this month, the month of March, is making disciples of all nations. And in verse 18, Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, "All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you all the days, on every occasion, until the consummation of the age." Amen. So let it be. So Jesus tells us here that he has all authority and all power in the earth, and he then commissions his people, which will be known as his church. The church is the body of Christ. We talked about the church last week, how Jesus is the head of the church. He purchased the church with his blood, and you and I, we make up the church. Amen? And he's telling then his disciples to go and make other disciples. Say, "I'm a disciple maker." Hallelujah. We're in the business of helping people to become disciples. Amen. Discipleship is a process. It's a journey, right? It's not necessarily a destination. And so we want to, and then he said, baptizing them. We're going to see that today. Amen. Jesus specifically told his followers to baptize people. And what God did is he provided us a way out of sin. Amen. Sin is so destructive. It will destroy your life. It's worse than cancer to a body. What sin is to the earth, cancer is to the body. It eats away. It takes you away from God. And there was no way that we could overcome sin but by one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus offered himself up freely on the cross, and the purpose was so that he could deliver us from sin, and he destroyed sin on the cross. He totally demolished it. And so he tells us to baptize people. And I thought, you know, this is what this word means. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means to immerse or to submerge. It means to make fully wet. I like that. It means to wash. It means to cover with a fluid and to dip. Amen? Everybody say to dip. So we're going to take a dip today. Amen? It's going to be the greatest dip that you ever had. Glory to God. And you're going to see that in action today, as disciples are being made. Amen. We believe for more. We're going to see an increase in disciples. Amen. We're going to see every chair full, and we're going to build another building, and, you know, we're going to pack them in. Glory to God. Why? Because God, anything that God's involved with grows. So I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're just going to take a look at baptism here. That's why I'm dressed the way I am today, because I'm about to get wet. Look at your neighbor and say, there's some about to get wet today. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know that when you get totally wet, it covers everything? Amen. God wants to cover every part. He wants to fill every crevice. I tell you what, God does a complete work. Amen. His crimson tide is still flowing today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about today. I was here early, just making sure that we had enough water. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It said, the souls of those who long before in the days of Noah had been disobedient, when God's patience waited during the building of the ark, in which a few people, actually eight in number, were saved through water. Can you imagine the earth got down to eight people who were righteous? Wow. Man, is, you know, can eight people make a difference? Absolutely. And verse 21, and baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questions and fears, not by the removing of outward body filth or bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he has now entered into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with all the angels and authorities and powers made subservient to him. So baptism is where we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we immerse people in water, because it signifies they die to an old life and they're risen to a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we're going to see that the people who are getting baptized today, you're not alone, because there were people who have gone before us who've gone through the very same thing that you're about to go through today. Amen? We have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who have gone on before us, who were baptized. Jesus himself was baptized to give us our example. All right? And back in the Old Testament, before the priests could even enter into the presence of God, they had what's before the entrance, they had a laver. And that laver was filled with water. And every time that they would go into the presence of God, they'd have to wash their hands and wash their feet, symbolizing that in order to enter into God's goodness, you know, you got to be clean. And God makes you squeaky clean. Look at your neighbor and say, you're squeaky clean. Squeak, squeak, squeak. All right? And then we have about 2 million people known as the nation of Israel. And they were in bondage for 430 years in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. They were oppressed. They had harsh taskmasters. They had an ungodly leader in Egypt named Pharaoh. And God brought his people out. And he brought them through something in order to bring them out. What did he bring them through? The Red Sea. Now, I want you to get this picture. We think, you know, some people said, oh, it was the Sea of Reeds. It was only a few inches deep. Well, isn't it amazing how the whole Egyptian army drowned in a couple inches of water? Well, that's even a greater miracle. But I want you to get this picture. The whole nation of Israel, water was on each side of them like a wall. If you read Exodus, I think it's 16, 17, somewhere around there, it talks about the water was made walls and they went through the water. As a symbol, see, sometimes you got to wash the world's muck off you. All right? If you go about your day, you're eventually going to have to wash your hands today at least once. Because just in contacting this world, your hands get dirty, right? Your feet get dirty. And so water is a purifier. Water is a cleansing agent. Water washes you and makes you clean. And baptism is simply a picture of what's already taken place on the inside. Amen? Glory to God. You know, you can go through your family album and you can look back to a picture of a place that you had a good time and it was good. And that picture actually brings back the memory. It takes you back to that moment, doesn't it? Guess what? Well, baptism is just a picture. Hallelujah. It's a picture of what God is doing and has done in us and through us. Glory to God. And you know, I noticed the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was a Syrian. He was a soldier. He had a prominent position, but yet he had leprosy. Leprosy is another type of sin. And he couldn't get rid of this leprosy. And then he had a little servant girl that was working for him, and she said, you know, if you go down to Israel, there's a prophet, there's a man of God who can get you healed. He says, I want to go. And so he came down there during the days of Elisha, and he thought that something great was going to happen, you know. And he got there, and Elisha sent out his servant, and he told Naaman to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now, 7 represents the number of completeness. There's a reason why Naaman had to wash in the Jordan 7 times, so that he could get a complete healing, so that he could become whole. Now, at first, he was like, why do I got to do that? There are much better rivers in Syria and Damascus better than this Jordan. This Jordan is, you know what? Sometimes you got to do it God's way. Amen? You got to say, not my way. See, there's a reason why God tells us to do things a certain way. And you could try to do it your own way, but you're never going to get to where you need to be. You got to do it God's way. You got to surrender. And so Naaman finally said, okay. They convinced him. They said, well, if he'd have told you to do something mighty, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah, okay, well, why don't you do this? Okay, dip number 1, number 2, number 3, if he'd have stopped at 4, what'd have happened? Now, we're not going to dip you 7 times a day, all right? You know, we're not going to hold you under to make sure you really repent, no. But on the 7th time, when he dipped into that water and he came out, the Bible said his skin was like a baby's skin. See, because what happened was there was a transformation that took place outwardly in Naaman. And it's the same thing that takes place in a person's heart when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He does a change on the inside. He makes you like a baby on the inside. You might be an adult on the outside, but if you accept Christ, you're a baby on the inside. And you got to drink milk, and you got to develop, and you got to grow, and you got to be nurtured. Amen? And if you need to be nurtured, if you need to grow, you're in the right place. You're in a good place. Amen? We've got trees that are planted by rivers of living water. You know, when a tree is planted by a living water, it produces its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does prospers. Glory to God. I'm looking for some people who are going to produce some fruit because they're planted by the living water, the rivers of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not embarrassed to talk about Jesus. I'm not ashamed to let people know that I'm a believer. I'm that kind of believer. I'm what you would call a holy roller. Amen? As one of my pastors in Illinois said, it's better to roll into heaven than slide into hell. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. See, you know, if you miss something, you never know what you miss. Amen. Sometimes I never know what I'm going to miss until I show up. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say to this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace may multiply and overflow? No. Everybody say no. Grace is not a license to do whatever you want to do. Grace simply gives you the opportunity to do what's right, and it gives you the power to do what's right. He says, certainly not, verse 2. How can we, who died to sin, live in it any longer? See, Christianity is a commitment to life. It's a commitment to live for God. Verse 3, are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? See, so baptism is an identification with what Jesus Christ has done. The gospel is simply that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again on the third day, and you can have life just like he has it. That's the gospel, all right? You know, the gospel is not complex. We tend to make it more complex than what it really is. So it's an identification with Jesus' death. Verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in the newness of life. So when you come out of the water today, I want you to get ready to live. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. This is a place where you start your engines. Yeah. Where you get your engines going. Amen? And the race is just about to begin. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 5. If we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also become one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. I don't know about you, but I like sharing with God, and I like when he shares with me. You know, it's not too, you don't hear too many religions, you don't hear any religion that says that their God that they serve gives them his life, gives them his goodness. There's no other God in any other religion that shares their supposed life with their followers. But God, our God does. Because our God is a Father. He reigns on high. He is the great I am. That means I am ever presently with you. Hallelujah. And if you haven't made a commitment to Christ, you can right now. It just takes a decision in your heart. You can decide who you're going to follow. You can decide where you're going to go. And you know what? Where you end up is nobody's fault but our own. Where we end up. Because we end up there because we choose to be there. I choose life. All right? And go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 26. Don't the guys who bring up the scriptures do a great job? Now, I don't want you to rely on the overhead. Amen? Because we all should be able to find out where the scriptures are, but that's just there to help you. And in Galatians 3:26, that just goes to show if you're going to walk, hold the page. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Baptism is an expression of faith in God. Amen? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, the Anointed One, have put on Christ. So literally, we are taking the nature of Christ and we're putting it on like we put on a garment. All right? We're supposed to clothe ourselves in Christ, in righteousness. How we treat people, how we love the Lord, how we carry ourselves, how we behave. We're supposed to pattern our life after Christ, all right? And Colossians 2:12 says, if we're buried with him, we're going to be raised with him, amen? That is a promise and a guarantee. In other words, you can't keep a Christian down. Because they're gonna pop up like one of those buoys, you know. If you put a buoy down, it's gonna pop right back up. If you put, I'm a popper. I'm gonna keep popping up. Amen? Amen. Yeah, I might make a mistake. I might get down, but you know what? I'm popping back up. Because I don't live by my mistakes. I live by my faith in Christ Jesus. Because you know what? We've all made mistakes. All of us, at one time or another, have fallen short of God's glory. But there is a gift that makes up the difference of your shortfall. And that is the gift of eternal life, which God gives freely by grace. All right? And go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. He says here, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary, everybody say elementary, stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of faith to God with teachings about purifying. That word purifying, other translations say about baptisms. So baptism is a fundamental practice and belief. Amen? What ABCs are to your education, baptism is to Christianity. It's a fundamental. You know? Where would we be if you haven't learned your ABCs? Right? It's a fundamental thing. Where baptism is fundamental. All right? It is a part of our faith. It is a part of our walk with Christ. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Are you with me so far? This is a good day. You know what? Not only... I like that enthusiasm. Not only are people going to be cleansed, but I think that this is a turning point in the atmosphere of this area. You know, I was thinking about this. Why did God institute baptism? And the thought came to me, every birth has to go through water. How do you know that a woman is ready to give birth? Because the water breaks. Every birth begins with water, so why not should a spiritual birth begin with water? Amen? Now, there were a lot of people, they got baptized immediately after they professed faith in Christ. It doesn't matter when you get baptized. Amen? Baptism does not guarantee you into heaven. Faith in Christ guarantees you into heaven. All right? Baptism is just an expression of your faith. You are making a public declaration of where your faith is. Okay? And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, this is when John was baptizing. And verse 6 says, and they were baptized in the Jordan by him, confessing their sins. So baptism was a result of someone's confessing their sins. All right? Did you know that, how many know this, that when you do something wrong and you try to hide it, it's often worse than doing something wrong and saying it, right? It's better to say it and receive mercy than try to hide it and get something worse. So let's not hide it anymore. God knows anyway. Amen? So in your heart right now, I want you to do this. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess the things that I have done wrong, the ways that I have behaved in the wrong way, If I was supposed to do something and not doing it, or not doing it that I was supposed to, I ask you right now to forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's that simple. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just, not only to forgive you, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that confession removes the burden of guilt and shame associated with it. All right? And then go down to verse 11. So, people who John baptized, they had to repent in their heart. And in verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water because of repentance. Repentance is simply saying, I was going this way, and I want to change, and I want to start going this way. That's all repentance is. Repentance is making a change in your heart, which results in the change of your behavior. Amen? When the Apostle Paul came to the Lord, he no longer murdered people. Amen? That's a good thing to stop murdering people, right? And instead, he was actually helping people to come to the knowledge of the Lord. So he stopped one behavior so that he could start a new behavior. That's what repentance is. Okay, so baptism is a result of repentance. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. I want you to know what you're getting into today. It's a good thing to be baptized. Verse 16 of Luke chapter 1. And he will turn and cause to return many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. He's talking about the ministry of John, who was a forerunner. And he was to introduce the Savior to the world. And he will himself go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient and incredulous and unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, in order to make ready for the Lord a people prepared in spirit. So what baptism is, it's preparation. Now, if you were going to go out to a nice dinner tonight, how many would get ready? Right? You know, you wouldn't come straight from pulling up the weeds of the flower bed, okay, I'm ready for dinner. No, you would take some time, you would prepare, you'd take a shower, amen, you were getting ready. Amen, baptism just means you're getting ready for a further work that the Lord wants to do in your life. Amen, because Christianity, when you come to know the Lord, that's just the beginning, but He wants to help you grow. He wants to reveal His plan for your life. He wants you to be what He created you to be. That's what it means, you're getting ready for it. Amen. And baptism witnesses the inner work of Christ. Go with me to John chapter 4. I want to show you something here. John chapter 4. Did you know that Jesus didn't baptize people? But His disciples did. And in John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, now when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had been told that Jesus was winning and baptizing more disciples than John. You know, the devil just wants to stir up competition. I baptized 10 today. Well, I baptized 8 today. Listen, there's no competition in the body of Christ. Amen? We ought to all be about the Lord's business. Now, Jesus wasn't upset. That Jesus was glad. John was glad. He said, He must increase and I must decrease. Look at verse 2. Though Jesus Himself did not baptize, but His disciples. But I will say that Jesus did baptize when He ascended into heaven, and He baptized His church with the Holy Spirit and fire. Because John said, I baptize you with water, but there is one that comes after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to unleash. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. You know, there's actually three baptisms. There is a baptism into the body of Christ, there's a baptism by water, and there's a baptism by fire. Three baptisms. All right? And it'd be good to partake in all three. All three are good. All right? Now let's look at some examples. Go back over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Hallelujah. And let's see some of our examples. And let's go down to verse 13. You know, it's always good when someone tells you to do something that they do it first. Right? And Jesus, we have that good example. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. But John protested strenuously, having in mind to prevent him, saying, "It is I who have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus replied to him, "Permit it just now, for this is the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness, that is to perform completely whatever was right." And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water. Now, in order to get out of the water, you have to be in the water, right? That's why we immerse people. And the heavens were opened, and John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight." Now we see the Godhead involved in baptism. Jesus the Son came to be baptized. He came to get baptized not only in water, but in the Spirit. And the Father voiced his approval from heaven, and the Holy Spirit came on him. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we baptize people, we say, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All right? God is into baptism. Okay? Let's go to another example. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Just want you to see this here. Verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. I bet this took some time. And Peter answered them, "Repent, change your views, and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and release from sin, from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There were 3,000 people there that day that believed in Christ. That's 3,000 baptisms. Man, that must have been, you know, a dunking booth. You know, next, boo, next. I don't know how they did it, but they had 120 people that could baptize. So the early church baptized. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. This is when Philip went down to Samaria. He preached the gospel and they believed. Verse 12, but they believed the good news. Say the good news. The gospel is good news. God has good plans for you. God is good. He's not bad. He is good. That needs to be said more and more. He preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. As Philip preached it, they were baptized, both men and women. So here we see that both men and women were baptized. All right? And then in Acts, in the same chapter, verse 38, there was a man from Ethiopia. And he was like an accountant for the queen of Sheba, or the queen in Ethiopia, whatever. And he ordered that the chariot, verse 38, be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So this Ethiopian was baptized. Go with me to Acts chapter 9, verse 18. When Ananias came to a man named Saul, and verse 18 says, and instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he recovered his sight. Then he arose and was baptized. So the Apostle Paul was baptized. Jesus was baptized. Early church members were baptized. Amen. Can you see the example here? Can you see the precedent here? Can you see the pattern here? Well, say baptism is for us today. It's still in effect. It's still a principle that God wants us to follow. It's still something that he wants the church to do. Amen? He hasn't changed his mind about going into all the world, making disciples of all and baptizing them and teaching them. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Here's something that Philip Henry, father of Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator, said. I take God to be my chief end and highest good. I take God the Son to be my Prince and Savior. I take God the Holy Spirit to be my sanctifier, teacher, guide, and comforter. I take the Word of God to be my rule in all my actions, and people of God to be my people under all conditions. I do hereby dedicate and devote to the Lord all that I am, all that I have, and all I can do, and this I do deliberately, freely, and forever. This is what they did before they got baptized. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And look at verse 14. These, Paul and Silas were outside of a city. And verse 14, one of those who listened to us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in fabrics dyed in purple. She was a fashion designer. Boy, do we need some fashion designers saved today. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. I hope the Lord opens your heart today to listen to what's being said. And when she was baptized along with her household, she earnestly entreated us, saying, if in your opinion I am one really convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and the author of salvation, and that I will be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she induced us to do it. So she opened up her house. This woman, you know, her heart was open. Her eyes were open, and she was receptive to the truth. That's what I want you to be today. I want you to be receptive to the truth. Amen? The truth is that God loves you. The truth is that God has good plans for you. The truth is that our God is good. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. The only way to get into heaven is to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. The only way to stay out of heaven is to reject Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he's come to do. He's come to seek and save that which was lost. And Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the Jews, he came to Jesus by night. He recognized him as a teacher, calling him rabbi. And he was inquiring how he could see the kingdom. And Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, well, you know, how can I get back in my mother's womb? Jesus said, you know, you're thinking natural when you need to be thinking spiritual. He said, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be born of the Spirit is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And baptism is a sign of being born by water. Amen? It kind of seals the deal. All right? So I want, Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now today. And we thank you, Father, for those who are going to come forward to be baptized, to be washed in water, to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you would touch every heart. You would open up every mind, Father, to the truth of the gospel. And let us know today, Father, show us how much you love us. Show us what you are willing to give up so that we can have a relationship and fellowship with you, so that we can approach our Heavenly Father, so that we can come before his throne in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you today that you make today a most memorable event, Father, in the lives of those who are going to be participating in it today. And Father, for those who aren't getting baptized, maybe they're here. I ask that the Holy Spirit would just touch their hearts right now. You would cause them to come to you, Father. You would cause them to open up their hearts to your love and to your grace and to your mercy right now in the name of Jesus. If I could have all those that are going to be baptized to come up, we can, if they want to, maybe they want to get ready. All the people that are going to get baptized, if you want to go ahead and get ready, if you need some moment to get ready there. And then we're going to have you come up front, and we're going to lead you in a confession, and we're going to pray over you, and then we're going to baptize you. Amen? This is the first time we're doing it as part of our regular service. And let me just ask this. If there's anyone that has heard me today, and you know that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never been born again, you don't know that if something were to happen to you that you wouldn't spend an eternity in heaven, or is there anyone here that would like to make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior? You've never asked Jesus into your heart. I just want you to, with an upraised hand, if there's anybody here that's never accepted Jesus Christ and would like to, I'd love to introduce you to my friend, to the one who loves you and one who knows you. Is there anyone here? Say with their uplifted hand, I need to accept the Lord as my Savior. I remember doing it over 20 some years ago when I was 12 years old, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. Amen? And why don't we pray for these items over here too? What we've been doing is if you know someone that is suffering with either sickness or oppression, or maybe you can't get to them, but you can send something to them. What we do is if you want to bring something in, we're going to anoint these things, and then all whose these things belong to, you can come and get them and give them to the people that they're going to be going for. We've been doing this for a couple weeks now.
So if you want to join us,
yeah, just
in prayer,
why don't you stand up for a moment?
Stand up,
stretch forth your hands. Hallelujah.
We just worship you, Father, in the house today.
Oh,
we
yes,
praise
Lord God.
Your holy name, Lord. We
thank
lift
you,
up the
Lord
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus that is above every
oh,
other name.
Oh, we bless
name.
You, Lord God.
Oh, Lord,
praise
we just worship
your holy
you
name.
This morning, Father.
We thank you, Lord, for your precious
you for your
and
goodness,
wonderful
Lord.
Anointing, Lord.
Yes,
your yoke destroying, burden removing power.
Oh, we thank
the
you,
power
Lord.
Of the Holy Spirit that is
we
real,
activate your anointing
that is powerful.
In this place today, Lord.
Oh, yes, Father.
Oh, we
in the
worship
name of
you,
Jesus.
Jesus. We worship you.
Oh,
Lord.
We thank you, Father. May you anoint
thank you,
each
Jesus.
And every one
thank
of these
you,
items, Father, with the power of God.
Yes,
Lord. Use them to set people
thank
free.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heal them.
Thank
send,
you, Lord.
Send the devil
thank
running, Father, in the
you,
name
Father.
Of Jesus.
We declare the goodness
cause
of God.
Them to be free and experience
yes,
your goodness and your
Lord
grace,
Jesus.
Father. May your anointing go
yes,
into these
Father.
And do its work, Father, like only
thank
you can do.
You,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for victory.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for life.
Yes,
we thank you, Father, for
Lord.
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
Lord, breathe on each one
thank
of these.
You,
and whoever comes in contact
yes,
with, Father,
Lord.
May that anointing
life-changing.
Go in them in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Father, we thank you,
amen.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus. Well,
hallelujah.
We want to, you need to go change?
No, I'm.
Okay.
I just got to take off my.
Listen, you can have your seat for a moment. For those who are ready to, if you're ready to be baptized, you can just sit right here in the front row while we get, while everyone comes out. But we want to share some testimonies with you. Amen. Who wants to hear some testimonies? Listen, we had someone in our congregation. Miss Kathy, are you here? You want to wave to everybody? Miss Kathy gave us this testimony. and you can correct me if any of it's wrong. She works for our school here in Palmyra in the kitchen area, and she was carrying a pot of hot oil. You know what that sounds like? Hot oil. You know when you fry stuff in a pot of hot oil? And the lid came off and the pot dropped. It slid out of her hands, you know, oil and slipping. And it fell, and oil fell on her, hot oil, and splattered on one of her co-workers on her face. Yeah, doesn't that sound like a disaster? But who knows, we serve a God that protects us, amen? And thanks be to God, the young lady that it splattered on, she barely had a little bit of a bruise for 2 days, and her face is completely whole. And Miss Kathy had nothing on her body. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We thank God. And let me share with you one more. Isn't God awesome? You know, when we do these, when we do the confession as a church, we're not just saying words. We believe it. Pastor Doug and I believe it. Amen? And I know that you do too. But listen, you see Mr. Bill over there with that turtle he's got all around his body. A couple weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago now. February 18th, so it's been about a month, he was riding his motorcycle on the one sunny day that we happen to have, and he hit gravel and was trying to avoid another vehicle and went into a ditch, broke his neck, his back, his right clavicle, and did some other stuff to his leg, but he is home. That's got to be the miracle of our God, amen? He was in the hospital for a short period of time. They did surgery on him. He went to a rehab center. They did rehab on him. They just sent him home. Amen? Now, who knows? That would have been a death wish for somebody not protected by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But we're protected as his children. And if we know it, we know how to activate it for our lives. Amen? And so in these last days, this is the time when we've got to learn how to activate all the benefits that God has for us. Amen? Amen. All right.
Well, if I could have all those getting baptized, if you could just stand up. Hallelujah. Today's a good day. Amen? Amen. So, we baptize people based on their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. All right? That's why we don't baptize children who haven't been able to make that decision yet. And but if you're able to make that decision, you identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a fundamental truth. And Jesus was baptized, and several examples that I shared with people that were baptized. But let me ask you, in the name of Jesus, do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? If you do, just say, I do. Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you accept him as your Savior? Amen. Are you ready to dedicate your life to be his disciple, his follower? Amen. Okay. Well, upon that confession of faith, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to pray over each and every one of these people, Lord, for this decision, Lord, that they have made and that has brought them here, Father, at this point in their life. Lord, I just pray that your anointing and your power and your goodness and your love will just rest on each one of these right now today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you would root them and ground them in your love. Father, I just ask that you would show yourself strong on their behalf. You would manifest your goodness in their life. You would lead and guide them by your Holy Spirit. You will direct them in the way that you should go, Father. Lord, I bless them right now in the name of Jesus. And we just give you thanks and praise, Father, for the newness of life. Oh, Lord, for the new man, a new and fresh anointing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're not only able to keep them, but to sustain them. Lord, lead them and guide them on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Hallelujah. And we just give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, you guys ready?
All right, so Pastor Doug's going to go in the water, so he shouldn't hold a mic when he's in the water, right? So what we'll do is, if you guys just want to go ahead and just kind of go up against the wall there, and then we'll take you in the order that you are right now. And we've got some folks ready to help. And for those of you who are sitting, if you can everybody see? Can you guys see? If you want to take pictures, you're welcome. You can kind of come up here if you need to. It's okay. Just as long as we're not blocking everybody there, it's fine. So you can come up. If there's steps on this side of the platform, and you can probably come up this way if you need to take pictures. And we're going to play some music, right? We got some music in the house. It's all right. Whatever. It's fine. Little guys, you want to go first? I think we should let our little guys go first, right? Yeah. All right, Gabriel, come on. You're leading the pack, brother. It's a time of rejoicing, right? By the way, Gabriel's our son, for those of you visiting. All right, Gabriel. Yay! All right. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter. We rejoice, for the river is here. Yeah. Gabriel?
The river of God is teeming with life. And all who touch it can be revived.
All right, Solomon. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for our children. Yes. Father, we seal them in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for protecting them. Father, may their life burst forth with goodness, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for doing a good work in their lives. We thank you, Lord, for your protection, for covering them, Lord, and opening doors for them. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for victory in the house. We thank you, Lord, for victory in the house. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody want to testify? All right. If we could lower the music, we're going to have some testimonies.
I'm trying here. In all honesty, this is my second time being baptized out of 6 years. I've been homeless, been abused, everything between baptism from then and now. And now I've been completely healed mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else want to testify? Anyone else? Amber? Did you? Okay. Anyone else? You want to testify? Okay, he forgot. He'll tell us. He'll be here to tell us about it. Anyone else? Amen. Well, you guys can go change because I know you're cold. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. So, Harvey and Pearl, I hope you see the baptism is being put to good use. Amen. And does anyone have a testimony this morning before we say goodbye? You know, Pastor Doug's got to go change, so he gave me the mic. We got testimony right here. Sorry.
I was diagnosed with pancreatitis last Sunday when I came here. I was in terrible pain. and I came up for healing, and immediately, you know, it subsided, but there was still something there. When I came on Wednesday night, something was really moving through the house. And I'm telling you, people, come on Wednesday night if you can, because there's something special here. Sundays, there's something special here. Wednesdays, there's something here special every day. But anyway, I went up again for the healing, and I just like flew to the floor, and I felt this hot going through my body. And the one thing I remembered was Pastor Fiona praying over me, saying, give her the organs of a 16-year-old. Well, when I got up, there was no pain at all. None.
Hallelujah.
And it's not there now.
It's not there now. Amen.
Don't forget, when you get healed like that, you know, thank Jesus for it. You know, stand on his word of being healed by his stripes, but thank him. I just continually walk through my house all the time, and I put my hand here, and I thank him for my healing. So
praise God. I remember saying to her, God, give her the organs of a teenager. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you want to testify about how you got healed in your kidneys? It was 2 years ago now, or something?
2 years ago, I was here, and I had a little bit more of a testimony. But 2 years ago, I was here, and I had a kidney stone that I passed. And when I went into the hospital, they saw a lump on my kidneys about the size of an Easter egg. So I came up for prayer for that lump, and they prayed for me, and it felt like something was moving inside my midsection.
Your belly was moving, brother.
And I went back to the doctor. They said, it's just a cyst. You can live with it. It's no problem, no cancer, no nothing. So I was healed, I believe, that time by the power of God. I just thank the Lord for it. But something even better than that. Something even better than that. I give God the glory for that. But from the age of 14 years old, I used to drink, smoke weed, smoke crack. I used to sell drugs. I used to do everything that I wasn't supposed to do as a teenager in Philadelphia. And this day, 23 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He not only cleaned me, he cleansed me, he washed me, and he saved me. Took the taste of any alcohol, any drugs. No 12-step program could do me like Jesus did. I was set free from everything, all addictions and everything. So I just want to encourage anyone who is going through anything, my master can do it. All you have to do is just give it to him, and he can do it.
Amen.
I just praise God for this day.
Well, you know what? Let's do that. If anyone has an addiction you need to get rid of, listen, don't hide this stuff. It's an addiction. You want it out of there. Amen? If you've got an addiction you're dealing with, come up here. We're going to pray for you. And Mr. Mike went through it. He's free from it. Heck. Yeah. If you have an addiction, come up here. We're going to pray for you. Does anybody have anything they're dealing with? Cigarettes, food. I don't know what your addiction is. Whatever your addiction is, you want it out from your body, from your life. Come on up here. All right? You can play the music again. But also, if you need healing, because we just testified of healing. All right? I don't know about you, but if I have pain in my body, I don't put up with it. Okay? So if there's something going on in your body that's out of order, there's a fast, easy way for healing. Amen? And we believe in healing in the house, so let's pray over you. So if you need healing, come on up here, and we're going to pray. And we have a testimony just Wednesday night. I remember putting my hands on her belly and saying, organs of a teenager. She picked the age 16. I said teenager. She said 16. So whatever age she picked, that's the organs she's got. Amen? So let's play some music in the house, and we're going to worship God in the house, and we're going to believe God for addictions to be broken and for healing to come forth. Amen. Are you with me this morning? For those of you who've already had these things happen in your life, just believe with us. Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that's ready to move and work powerfully in this atmosphere, Father. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We come against every addiction in this body. We tell every order. Let's stand together. Come on. We thank you, Lord, for an awesome day in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your healing power in this place. We thank you, Lord, that even as we leave, we carry a residue of your anointing with us from this place today. And yokes will be destroyed, and bondages will be loosed off of people, Father. We receive of the anointing in the house today, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that as we go and we intermingle with the marketplace, that things will change. In the name of Jesus, let us never be the same again as we came in, Father. But let there be a shift in the atmosphere. Oh, we give you glory and praise. And Father, we thank you for doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, have an awesome day. And we've got some great food in the kitchen for everybody. You can participate, talk to our new people that got baptized, and share the love of God. Lower the music for a little bit. Wednesday night, we're going to have a praise night up in the place. You don't want to miss Wednesday night. You know what happens when you give somebody a compliment, how they really get to, they like you, they smile? We're going to be complimenting Jesus, people. And I want him to give me a big old smile. So you want to come on Wednesday night. We're going to defer from what we normally do, a Bible study. We're going to praise God in the house. So don't miss it. Amen? We got one.